One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio, and yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mr. Dave Callens.
Hey.
And on the soundboard, Mr. Robert Timothy.
How you doing? Good to be back at Madhouse.
Yeah. Finally, back in the studio, where we belong. It's fucking hot as balls in here. we forget that, like, even though, like, shit, we have to tape an episode at Ryan's house. I'm like, oh, there's a fridge.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's way better.
There's dogs.
Yeah. So, my wedding's coming up, October. And I don't know if all of our listeners know this, but Aaron and I have a stalker.
Oh, yeah.
It's my ex-girlfriend from years and years ago. I dumped her in 2011.
Dave, you want to see what a good married person Ryan already is? He's already sharing. He's sharing the stalker. Because, in fact, it was really Ryan's stalker to start out with.
He should sign a prenup. If anything happens to him and Aaron,
he gets the stalker.
He gets to keep the stalker.
Yeah, it makes me feel important.
Well, or maybe they could do joint stalker custody, like a 50-50.
You send her harassing messages from Monday through Wednesday. I get those harassing messages the rest of the week.
Now, I know you've talked about stalkers in the past. Is this the one where she kind of blackmailed you into staying with her because of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Yes, yes. Okay. So to recap, this ex-girlfriend, like, I was with her for like a year, from like 2010 to 2011. And found out she was fucking a lot of dudes. And so, obviously, I'm like, well, I'm out of here.
She's like, not so fast.
Not so fast. You're going to stay with me. I'm going to continue to see other people. You're not allowed to. And you're just going to have to be okay with that, or else.
What's wrong with that deal?
And I was like,
that sounds pretty great.
Or else what, bitch? Cut to me in jail. So, yeah, she had me locked up for a week. And when I got out of jail, she had got me evicted from our apartment because she told the landlord I'd been dealing heroin, I think it was.
You holding out on us, you son of a bitch?
Yeah. And so I'm like, wow, she was not fucking around with that.
Hey, yeah, she really called your bluff on the or else what thing.
Right, right. She did. That was the one thing I'll give her. Like, that was the one time I said or else what and went, I should not have done that.
You know what? She's got a lot of follow through, right? I don't know why you're leaving.
And after this whole thing went down, and by the way, she said the whole blackmail thing was after I had got out of jail, this pre-eviction, she's like, you're going to stay with me. You're going to only go to work and come home. When you come home, you give me your phone. And if you do not agree to this, I'm going to tell the detective who was itching to put me in jail.
Oh, yeah.
And said, like, he was like her advocate. He said, if he does anything else, you call me. I'll go right over there. She said, I will call Detective so-and-so and say you hit me again. And if you try to run, I'll say you hit me and ran. And there will be a warrant out for you. So I'm like, I was blackmailed for weeks. It was crazy.
So, you were living in Gone Girl, man.
Yeah, I was Gone Girl.
It's like Misery.
Yeah.
Oh, the only thing she didn't do was hobble him.
Yeah.
She didn't try.
Yeah. She put an emotional 4x4 between his ears.
So anyway, I finally, you know, I got out of it. I was just, like, the way I did it was I'm like, I'll stay with you if we go to court and you know, you drop the charges that you know and admit you lied. And,
right.
And it was gross because
did she actually admit that she lied?
Yeah.
Because that's a crime too.
I know.
Have gone to jail.
I know. And I was really expecting that. You know, and it didn't happen. But you know what?
Everybody knows that Ryan forced her to say she lied.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's what everybody at the court thought. They're like, oh fuck this, another one.
The grossest thing was at this point I despised this woman and I was holding hands with her, talking cute, and I had to put up with this whole thing. I felt my skin crawl because we're sitting there playing like a game on my phone with together, and she's like canoodling me. And meanwhile, I get the pee shivers. Like, I can't wait.
You're like vomiting inside.
Yeah, I was vomiting inside.
Oh,
and then finally, Bobby, I was expecting to be like the court to be like, well, then you're in trouble.
Right.
But they did not. They're just like, oh, okay, good. All's well that ends well. No paperwork. So anyway, she drops the charges. My lawyer gets his $10,000.
Jesus.
That I paid him for a retainer. $10,000 because they got bumped into the felony charges. So I needed a fucking good criminal defense guy. And yeah, they come with a price tag.
I feel like for that, because it was such a small deal, you should have gotten to go out and commit another crime.
Yeah.
Like, you already spent the week in jail. You paid for the lawyer. You should get one on the card. Like, it should be like one of those yogurt stamp cards. Like,
yeah. Bobby, he actually did. That's a story for another episode, though. We're going to save that.
So anyway, like, literally at the courthouse in front of everyone, she's like, all right, let's go home, baby. And I went, ha, 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 ha. And I flipped her off the double middle fingers. I'm like, fuck you. I fucking hate you. And I fucking went sprinting out of the courtroom.
And then he's like, oh shit, I shouldn't have carpooled here with her.
He ends up in an Uber pool together with her.
So anyways,
now with the wedding coming up, this has got to be cause some activity.
Well, okay, so moving forward, she has stalked me since then. This is 6 years ago.
Which is crazy because it's only a year-long relationship.
Right.
That's what's crazy is, like, I get the sadness and the whatever. It should only, they should have a limit of as long as you were together, you get to be sad about.
Right, right. And to this day, every girlfriend I've had since, she's told people, this has gotten back to me, they stole me away from her. So Aaron, who I met in 2013, a good 2 years after I dumped this bitch, her mentality is Aaron stole me away. The fact that I'm still with Aaron is me cheating on her. Aaron is wearing her diamond ring, living in her house, and driving her car. That's her mentality.
She should call up that detective, get all that stuff back.
So anyways... She sends anonymous messages, but I mean, it's her, same misspellings.
Wait
same
a second,
everything.
Real quick, Bobby, this is making me think. You and I got to be on high alert at the wedding.
Oh.
I think we should bring, you know, a katana, some.
Oh, there's a reason I've kept the address of this wedding very secret.
We're like the Israeli anti-terrorism
yes,
squad
exactly.
for the wedding.
Exactly. You and I will be on high alert. We got this shit locked
well,
down.
I was going to be armed anyway, so why not?
So what's great about this whole thing, like, because I've had to, like, this girl's been like my STD that I've had to disclose to women when I first get with them. I'm like, all right. I really like you, and I hope this doesn't change how you feel about me, but I have something. Something with comes with me to this relationship. Like, is it herpes? I wish.
It's worse.
It's worse. It's herpes if herpes sent you a mean email saying you're fat every 3 weeks.
It's herpes if herpes learned to utilize the legal justice system.
So anyways.
Also Hep C.
There's a pattern that these... stupid, quote-unquote, anonymous emails come into Aaron, and it's just to Aaron, never to me, because I'm still her man in her eyes. Like, like she still sees me as, like, the one that got away. And so, literally, I had to escape. So anyways, it's whenever something good happens to Aaron, because this girl's life, as you might expect, just went down and down and down in the years. I think she's living in a trailer right now with, like, two other people or something.
A couple of raccoons.
Yeah. It's bad, dude. So,
she's living in Aaron's trailer.
Yeah. She should have this fucking jet stream. So, anytime something good happens to Aaron, like, it infuriates her, and then that's when the emails start coming in.
So
you know what? Like, Aaron at first, like, years ago, when we first got together, it would bother her, like, why is this bitch get away with this? Like, you don't understand. Every email represents her seeing a picture of you with, like, either a diamond ring or a new car and just fucking boiling over with anger and jealousy. You need to learn to enjoy these.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I would start making shit up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
hey, I won the lottery.
So now it's almost like a trophy. It's like, hey, let's see if we can be so happy we get 3 emails this month.
That's fantastic.
And also it's like, hey, we got an email from her. Like, yeah.
It's almost like a congratulations email from a good family friend.
It really is. I'm like, that means she was upset and I was happy. This is great news. So anyway, like I said, as the wedding nears, it's just like more and more like emails that come in, just more vitriol. Like, at first, you know, let me give the spectrum here. If let's say I took her to Catalina for the weekend, we posted pictures online, she'd be like, just to let you know, you're overweight and you look disgusting. But also it's like, hey, our wedding's coming up, and I just surprised Aaron with a honeymoon to Cancun. The email will just be like, fat, 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 fat.
I gotta say, this is sounding more and more appealing.
Oh,
I almost want to start a service called Jealous S.
Yeah.
Bobby wishes he had a stalker at this
right,
point.
Right.
Yeah. Missing out.
Every time something good happens to you, you get an email from this service that pretends to be one of your ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends and sends you something that's super angry. And if the better it is, the more frantic the message is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It reminds me where I'm at in life. It's
right.
Kind of nice.
So what's the last you heard from her now with the wedding being so close?
No, that was it. Fat, 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 you're fat.
Wow.
I just want to see what happens when, if, you know, like something even better. Like you said, they win the lottery, something like that happens.
Yeah.
then all of a sudden, like, she can't even restrain herself anymore, and she just shows up to the front door screaming obscenities through a bullhorn.
And remember, Bobby, this was the same person I told you, like, when I first got with her, there was red flags. She might be a sociopath.
Right.
Like, in the grocery parking lot, she
threw
a cart towards a car for no reason. And I had to run to catch it to stop it from hitting. And I was like, why would you do that? And she went, because I wouldn't get caught. I don't understand why I wouldn't do that.
Oh, my God. I just thought of something amazing. What if she's so committed to this reaction to things happening in Ryan and Aaron's life that she'll go the other direction? Like, what if Aaron hurt herself? Not bad, but she had an incident where she got injured a little bit. What if you posted that on Facebook and the stalker was like, hey, you know what? You're a good person. Good, sometimes bad. You know what I mean? What if she went the other direction? If you post something bad and then she's like, okay, just chin up, slugger. You got this.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I think you take it both sides. You do the something really bad. You're like, put the post up. Guys, I have really horrible news. I can't get into specifics right now. I'm going to follow up later. And then you give it a 3-beat, and she's just giddy as hell. It's like Christmas for her. She's so happy. And then you come back, horrible news. They're not going to have both pools open at our awesome wedding party. Let's go. Woo! Shoots herself in the face.
Oh, God, that'd be hilarious.
Anyway, so we can expect more of those emails to be coming in very soon. You know what I'll do? I'm going to start reading them each week. I'll start reading the emails.
I feel like part of Bobby's appeal to this stalker situation is it represents him a chance to commit some vigilante justice.
It does, especially when you brought up the wedding idea. I like the idea of being the security patrol force at the
Dibs
wedding.
Dibs on sniper, by the way.
Wait a second. You said you couldn't hit a target at 10 feet. Fuck no, you're not the sniper.
Well, that's a great thing about this is like living well and broadcasting how happy I am is the perfect vigilante justice. It's the one thing that makes you the most unhappy.
It's like the thing your grandma always told you, like, living well's the best revenge. Only in Ryan's case, it's actually true.
Yeah.
I got one for you, Bobby. So right. I want your input on this as our resident expert on vigilante justice.
One would call it the county's resident expert, but go ahead.
I don't know. So where I live, I have a parking spot in the alley behind my place.
Right.
Which is amazing because it fucking sucks to park anywhere here.
Yes.
But I have a parking spot. It gets hot as balls in the summer here, so I leave the windows cracked, you know, a couple inches.
That's
so my car doesn't overheat.
To me, by the way.
No, it's totally fine.
That's
middle
crazy.
Of the day. I come home at 1, I leave the windows cracked, I leave at 3, it's fine, whatever.
Remember, Bobby can't feel temperature.
Yeah. Well, that and the fact that you would leave, like, that's just such a vulnerability. It's
not
crazy to me.
Not at all. Okay. Anyways, but we're getting to my point.
You don't have any shit to take.
Exactly. I wish somebody would steal that car. I fucking hate that car so much. God damn it. Anyways, so that does come to a bad point, though. So I was, you know, I come home, leave the windows cracked, go inside for a couple hours, come back to the car. As I'm going to the car, some other people in the alley come walking over me like, hey, man, some woman was trying to get into your car. You shouldn't leave your windows cracked like that. I was like, oh, really? And like, yeah, we watched her try to get into a couple cars before we chased her off. Now, I feel like most people would react like, oh, shit, I better put my windows up.
Right.
My first reaction was, I'm definitely doing this again, and I'm going to sit on the roof with an airsoft pellet gun and catch this bitch.
First of all, yes, you have the exact right reaction.
All right,
that is what I would call the most healthy reaction you can have, other than the fact
that disagree.
That you left your windows open in the first place. Yes, absolutely. So here's the thing. If there is a flood coming in, right, and your garage or something is flooding, you can go up there to each spot that's leaking and try and patch it up and do your best and patch it, or you can go up to behind wherever the garage is leaking from and try and dig yourself a trench and make a trough and get the water away. One thing is, I'm going to roll up the windows. Then you're just patching the problem. But if you catch her in the act, you're stopping the problem from happening.
Right.
That is a bigger deal. That, and it's way more emotionally satisfying.
Oh, super, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a vindictive motherfucker, dude.
This is not one of those living well situations.
No.
I want the pellet gun.
I would do. Yes. I would go even further. I would like set up like a giant steel cage that was propped up by a stick and just leave something easily stealable inside. Wait there with a rope attached to that stick. Just come on, bitch. Get in there.
Yeah. So that's what you would do. You'd sit on the roof.
Not only
waiting.
Would I do it, I have done similar things.
That surprises me zero.
So when I was in college,
here we go.
I lived in a fraternity. No. Everybody had gone off on spring break, and I had a fight later on that night. So I had to stay an extra few nights.
They forgot about you, left you there. You had to set some traps for burglars.
Right. It was almost like a Home Alone situation. So I had a fight.
He even made up his own song, Bobby and the Burglars.
Everybody left on like a Thursday, Friday night for a week long spring break trip. I was going to join them later on, but I had a fight on Saturday, so I had to stick around. It was just like me and a few other people in the house. And I was sleeping during the night. I woke up and my car was gone out of the driveway. And I was like, what? I didn't have time to deal with it. I was like, fuck, I got to go.
Shit, did I take Ambien again and lose my car?
And then I went and talked to my neighbor who had security cameras, and we looked at it, and we saw that some guys basically walked into our house, jacked the keys out of our mailbox, and stole our cars. And my first thought was like, oh my God, I'm so livid, I'm so pissed. How am I, first of all, going to go meet up with everybody? This ruins everything. But also,
my first thought is, why are the keys in the mailbox?
Unfortunately, my buddy's girlfriend left them there because we had tandem parking and she had to be able to move both
cars.
Yeah, and I was very pissed with her, by the way. And by also one of those situations where you don't even get a sorry and you're kind of pissed about it. You're like, you come up expecting to be like, hey, you know those keys you left in there? Somebody stole both of our cars along with
I suppose you want me to pay for this.
And you expect to be like, literally I was expecting to be like, listen, I don't want you to be broken up about it. Like, it's not necessarily your fault. It's your fault. But it's not necessarily your fault. And instead I was like, yeah, and you know, they stole the cars. And she's like, okay. And then just, that was it. And I was so super pissed. But anyway, when it came to the actual thieves themselves, my next thought was, how do I catch these guys?
Yes.
I don't necessarily want them to go to jail. I want to catch them in the act. I want to catch them stealing.
Absolutely.
So for like the next few nights while I was sitting there figuring out what to do, I would sit there with the door ajar waiting in the front room. Just like, bring it. Bring it.
Right.
I spent a significant amount, many hours, just waiting with a trap for burglars waiting to come. Now, I guess since they had robbed the place the few nights before, they weren't coming back right away. But I know exactly how you feel. And I do think you should do this. I think we should set up some kind of trap for this person so that when they come back around, you can get them. Now, here's the thing. They got scared off the other day, right? Those people scared them off from the alley.
Possibly. I don't know if they were just saying that or, you know, hey, we helped you out. Or they
so
just
that means
watched
that,
the
that's
person
their
leave.
Stalking grounds. Yeah. But they'll probably be back within a week or so.
Right.
I'm saying we take your car. Maybe even we take a different car. Let's go to the junkyard, buy like a $200 car. We're all pitching a couple bucks. We park it in your spot. Now, this isn't a real car.
You always lose me at some point. Usually it's imitating a police officer.
Yeah.
Now it's buying a bait car.
Maybe you actually commit to something, Dave. How about that? So we put this bait car in there. Now, this car doesn't run, so we don't have to worry about it. We only spent a few hundred dollars on it. But what it really is a saw-like series of traps. So she reaches in the window, and the window is programmed to go up and catch her arm.
I wish our listeners could see the look across my face as I look at Bobby right now.
Now she's stuck in there. Now, there's a hacksaw where underneath the windshield wipers. She can get out of this if she wants, coyote style,
Jesus.
Where you cut the arm off. But in the meantime, you sit up there from your window now, looking overlooking the parking spot, just hitting her with blow darts. Just now, she can take 200, 300 blow darts if she wants to be a pin cushion.
Do you just sit around your house thinking of these scenarios?
No, I do it when I'm driving. So she's
that doesn't seem safe.
She can get out of it. She can get out of it if she wants, or she can sit there and take it. And you let her know, I have 500 blow darts. You can take 500 blow darts. Or you can get out. You decide what you want to do. Now, that's one idea.
I'm honestly surprised Bobby didn't say, just leave a sandwich in there and poison it. She'll grab that, eat the sandwich, she'll die.
Poison is a woman's weapon.
What?
Oh, God.
I can just see Bobby just at home just whistling while he constructs his jigsaw mask and saw.
Absolutely.
Do-do-do-do-do.
But this is like, no, I like where your head is at. I definitely want to... This is why those videos appeal to us. You saw the video of the white woman beating up the other white woman, right?
I did. Now,
George,
I will
did you
say
this.
I did. Yeah. Now, for those that hadn't seen it, it's a viral video right now. This this very attractive old lady in a tasteful turquoise muumuu was shouting some insanely racist things about Haitians at the hotel she was at because it was staffed mainly by Haitians, and one girl wasn't having it. The racist lady tried to get in her face, and that white girl got hood real quick.
Yes, that was amazing. I loved it.
The one thing I don't like is they seem to be saying she was pregnant, the woman that got beat up. You should never hit a pregnant woman no matter what she's doing because the kid is not doing that.
Okay,
like,
first of all, I don't think she was pregnant. I think that was a knee-jerk reaction of like, she got her ass kicked.
She was
pregnant
fat, by and that lady looked
woman.
Way too old to be pregnant. Yeah.
Fair enough, and I hope that
it's her own fault for not saying she was pregnant until after the fact.
Right, okay, fair enough, but here is my complaint with that. It's not the fetus's fault, and all it takes is one stray punch to make that a mentally disabled child or person for the rest of their life, and it's not their fault.
I still think she was lying about being pregnant.
See, this is the difference between, by the way, this is more my vigilante type justice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bobby's vigilante justice involves blow darts and traps and puzzles. Mine is just like, oh, Ryan, what would you do if someone was trying to break in your car? You hide behind the dumpster, run out and hit him in the knee with a pipe. It's fucking great.
Dude, I love...
And then you go, yeah, you want another?
My favorite thing about the chick who beat up the other woman, first of all, she was hot, which was amazing.
Right.
But she was so calm about it. She was taking her shoes off, getting ready. And someone asked her, like, the woman, I think, she's like, oh, are you going to hit me with a shoe? She's like, no, I'm just taking these off in case you attack me. I'm going to be ready to fight. And sure enough, woman got in her face. And my biggest disappointment is she landed 10 or 12 punches and didn't knock her out.
You would be amazed how bad people are at punching. So yeah. Everybody thinks they know how to punch because it's such a... especially guys. Guys think they know how to punch.
Yeah.
Almost nobody does.
Bobby,
it's so rare to see anybody without training know to throw a punch halfway decent.
Right. How great is it when you're at a gym with has a heavy bag?
Yes.
Some dude that just decides he's
winging
gonna
go, it? Yeah.
He's just going to start working out on it.
I mean...
I just sit there and watch the big bag of popcorn. I'm like, yeah, keep going, bro. You're doing great.
I am not like the world's greatest boxer, but I am very good at teaching novices how to throw a punch. I am very good at teaching like the lower level of boxing. And I can tell you that leap from I've never taken a boxing class, I don't know how to throw a punch, to I can now at least decently throw a punch, whether or not I'm an actual boxer, I can do the form correctly. The difference is night and day. It's such a different thing when you see somebody who knows how to throw a punch, because other people, they wing it. They're throwing it with their arm weight. It's so ineffective. Even if you're a huge dude, your arm might weigh 15 pounds. Maybe. If you are throwing a punch correctly, you're throwing it with your body weight, meaning you're throwing it with 200 pounds. And the difference is exactly what you would expect in that. So when you see that woman just winging those things, yeah, they're only going to kill a fetus. They're only going to hurt an unborn child. That's the only thing it can actually do. That's also the reason why I always think it's funny when you watch fight videos, like when you watch YouTube fight videos and you see two dudes who have never fought before and they'll hit each other in the face 3-4 dozen times, right? You take anybody who's thrown a halfway decent punch in their life, you might take 3 of those undeflected shots before you go down. But yes, Dave, I do think we should get this woman. I think that we should devise some kind of bait car type trap situation. If not, here's one other idea, then we don't have to buy a bait car. Have you guys ever seen those mouse traps that are essentially a pad of glue
that
a mouse runs across and gets it?
The quote-unquote humane ones.
Yeah.
However, that just traps them for a day.
They starve to death.
Until you have to bash it in the head with a rock.
Right.
Those are not humane. Let's get it over with a snap trap, dude.
I bought a, quote, humane trap years ago when we had mice in our kitchen up in Cardiff. And it was a metal box where they could crawl in and then they couldn't come out. And the instruction, it was sold as a humane trap. The instructions that came with it, to empty the trap, submerge in water for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Also...
You want me to drown these fucking mice?
Also, what is more humane to you? How would you rather go, all of a sudden, before you know it, having your neck snapped and instantly dying, or essentially getting buried alive in a box?
Yeah, exactly.
That's until the water rushes
Jesus.
In.
So I think we build a human-sized version of one of these glue traps, where we set it right next to the driver's side part of your car. We cover it up, you know, like tiger trap style with some grass and whatnot. She comes up to reach into the window or to try and jimmy something open. She gets stuck there. Now again, we can start shooting her with blow darts.
Jesus Christ. I think you're the sociopath.
You just bought a blow dart gun. Really itching to try it out, aren't you?
Yeah, Ryan. I just bought a blow dart gun because I'm a fucking sucker who hasn't owned one for 35 years.
Oh, God damn it. All right, bring it to the wedding. We're going to need it for security detail.
Yeah, right.
Silent but deadly.
Yeah, make sure you put some poison tips on those, too, right. If you could. Another thing that happened is Louis C.K., one of the greatest comics of all time.
Back in the news
for an incident that happened, a couple years ago?
This is so hard. Every time this comes up with Louis, I am so sad because I really hope it's not true. I hope he's not that kind of guy because not only is he good, but he's good in a very personal way. And he's done so many things to literally change stand-up comedy. There are plenty of comics who are good. They're great comics. Louis C.K. changed stand-up, and he did it in a few ways. One, he really expanded on like the storyteller style, which has been kind of up and coming. He took that and ran with it in a way that most people hadn't done in a long time. But two, he was the one who came up with the idea of, hey, let's do a new hour every year. When he first came up with that and started doing it, people were like, you're insane. There's no way you can do an hour's worth of material every year.
He's for sure.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to tour it and do it. And now everybody does it. He changed the way stand-up comedy is done. He's the one who came out with that, I'm going to put this up on iTunes, $5 for this thing, and then made $1 million in a day because of it. He changed the way stand-up was distributed. He changed the way it was done. He is as big a name as Lenny Bruce is, as big a name as Richard Pryor is. He is that of our generation.
Right.
And now, unfortunately, there has been these...
Some Cosby-esque... Cosby adjacent.
No, I was going to say, though, that's what makes it hard because Cosby was amazing comic as well.
Right.
He changed comedy.
He changed comedy.
Yes. Sure. And so now when these horrible, when you find out these guys are horrible people, it just really fucking, oh man, that sucks.
Now we do need to differentiate before we even start talking about it, that it's not at that level. It is still inappropriate. It is not at that level. So Cosby is drugging women and raping them. That right. is one thing.
It's, I mean, if you ask a woman, she probably wouldn't say it's not
let's
much
get into
better.
What he did, because I don't think a lot of people know.
Well, he is accused of, on multiple occasions, masturbating in front of women. And
blocking the door so they can't
yes,
leave.
Absolutely. And masturbating from now there is a difference. And anybody who says this it's the same thing to rape somebody as it is to masturbate in front of them, I'm sorry, I just don't agree with you. Now I'm not saying that that's right or that's okay or it's fine or anything. I'm not trying to excuse him, but I am saying we do need to differentiate between somebody who violently sexually raped somebody and somebody who committed a non-contact sexual assault.
Okay.
But right, regardless, but I do not approve. Listen, if he's...
Those women should have had a blow dart gun.
Right in the dick. If he did do this, and more and... I mean, it is seeming more and more damning as time goes on. If he did do this, this is incredibly inappropriate. It's inappropriate for other reasons, too, which is he did this to people who were like his openers, these women who were going on tour with him.
Right.
He had a situation of power over them.
Right.
He is forcing them into this situation that they don't want to be in, and also into a situation where it's hard to say anything about it. Because if you do, this is the guy who's like your boss. And not just your boss. He's the boss of the entire field you work in. Because
yeah, right.
you fuck him over, you probably, you're not going to go too many places.
Right. Now, that's the really interesting thing about the resurgence of this news is the reason for it. Tig Notaro.
Right.
Who is, you know, ask anybody, she's a great comic.
Well, wait, hold on. Let me start out with what happened. So a few years back, it came out a story. Two comedians came out and said, female comedians, you know, he did this to us. He
invited us back. Well, I don't think they were his openers. It was two people that were like, he saw perform.
I think so as well.
And invited him back to his room. Now, right there, people were like, well, you know, I'm like, yes, true. But if Roseanne Barr said, come back to my hotel room so we can discuss your future in comedy, I'd be like, I'm going to roll the dice.
You'd be crazy not. Also, keep in mind this. When comedians are working, you are working out of places like hotel rooms because you're on the road. You don't have an office on the road. There is plenty of legitimate business that gets done inside somebody's hotel room because that's the only place to go.
So the story goes that these unknown, struggling female comics, the biggest name in stand-up comedy today said, hey, I thought you were great. Come to my hotel room so we can discuss your future in comedy. They went, and he essentially, when they were in there, he said, you guys want to watch me masturbate? They thought he was kidding. He dropped trowel, started cranking away. They're like, oh my God, tried to leave. He blocked the door and finished.
Yeah.
So that's pretty gross.
And that's horrible. I mean, I couldn't imagine having to be in that situation. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's even worse because they can't do anything afterwards. So
I just realized that I'm between Bobby and the door.
That's right.
I'll show you what it's like, Bobby.
Yeah, like I don't have a blow dart gun with me.
And now the reason it's back in the news is because Tig Notaro, who again, great comic.
Yep.
But she's you could say she's famous because of Louis.
Yes, absolutely. She
Louis
says
saw
she's
her
famous
perform
because of Louis.
And sort of put her out in the world. And so now she's in a weird spot and he's in a weird spot.
Right. And he's technically a producer on her show, and this all came about because she was talking. She has a show on Netflix, and he is he's listed as a producer, but she was saying to the interviewer, like, he's never been here. He doesn't write the show. He doesn't do anything.
Right.
It is us. He is just on there as a producer. And by the way, then they got into these accusations. Now, a couple of things she said. One is he needs to address this, because the only thing he's ever said about it when all this came about was he had something where he's like, I'm just not going to talk about it. I am here to be a comedian, and that is that, and I'm not going to talk about these rumors and that kind of thing. And she's like, no, you have to talk about it. And also, she said that there was some incident, she didn't say what it was, that happened a few years back that caused a huge rift between them. Because like you said, she used to be an act for him. She used to do, like, I think she was in his opening or his feature. Now they don't talk anymore. They are at such odds that he doesn't show up to the show he's apparently an executive producer on. So
maybe when he was blocking the door for her to leave, he couldn't finish.
Maybe he felt really embarrassed about it. So she brought this up and said, there was some kind of incident that caused them. Now, it doesn't mean that he did this to her. She didn't say that, so we can't necessarily just assume that. But that is certainly one of the possibilities. And it becomes one of these things where you're like, man, I really hope this isn't true about him. And then if it is, you know, what's the reaction? What do people do? Because I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the laws are regarding that. I think there'd be some kind of exposure thing but most of the exposure laws happen to do with being exposed either in public or to a minor.
Technically, if you stopped someone from leaving, unlawful detainment.
Right. And so there might be some legal repercussions, but that would be really hard to prove. But there are also years in the past. The question becomes then, if there's no legal recourse, is there something that happens to him in a cultural sense? Like, do Cosby gets off, but everybody still hates Cosby? Is that going to be what happens with Louis? What is the recourse if it turns out that this actually is true and this happened and he is guilty of these crimes? And he's done it a lot. I mean, for all we know, he's done this 200-300 times.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it really sours it because he is just so good and he's such an icon that you kind of don't want to believe it, but then you got to go, well, I can't not believe it just because he's good. That's horrible to those people if he did victimize them.
But you can also, I feel like you can't discount how great his comedy is if he does turn out to be this horrible piece of shit person.
Absolutely.
Do you think that he gives that as advice for picking up women to younger comics? Like, hey, you know, when you're on the road, what you're going to need to do is block the fucking door.
That's the thing, though. It's Louis. Like, he could literally just go into this audience of, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people, pick up the hottest woman there and say, would you like to sleep with me? And she'd probably say yes.
Yeah.
He is the king of comedy right now. Wait. Like, why would you do this thing, this involuntary thing to somebody? You could bring back so many women who would like to go watch you masturbate in your room voluntarily.
Well, maybe that's part of it that they don't want to. That's number one. Number two, what I hope this really sheds light on, and we've talked about this before in the show, is how common this is in comedy for female comics to be taken advantage of and put in these positions.
Oh, for sure.
It is it's just bizarre.
Hear in the local scene on the lowest level. We hear these stories all the time of people, you know, bookers trying to put a chick on the show and then wanting to sleep with her after.
The woman that used to sit in my seat on this dynamic, she was put in a position where she was left on the side of the road by a booker because she wasn't into it. Yeah. I mean, this is fucked up.
It happens all the time. I would say to any young women trying to get into comedy out there, do it. Do your best job.
It's going to be tough, though, and I'm not going to lie to you.
Don't let it keep you away from the scene because we need a bunch of good female comics out there. But keep your head on a swivel. And also, talk to other people because rumors spread. Like, people know who's skeezy and who's not. Not always, but for the most part, if you talk to some of the older guys, find somebody who, I don't know, seems like they have their shit together, isn't going to do anything to you, and say, hey, who do I need to avoid? And they'll take you to the side and be like, listen, don't tell them I said this.
They'll take you up to the hotel room. They'll bar the door.
Yeah. No, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that you should really watch out for if you're a female comic is when you're new, if some guy starts wanting to put you on every show he's on, listen, I know it's hard to say, that's because of my talent, but listen, I'm not trying to discount how funny or not funny you are, but that is unusual. There are the best guys in town. There's not one guy that wants him on all of his shows with him. It doesn't happen. So be suspect if one guy's getting you as the opener. And I remember that was happening to a friend of mine, Kate Manson, when she was starting out. Same booker that left that chick on the road, now that I'm thinking about it.
What a shock.
He's like, oh, yeah, he thinks I'm really funny. I'm like, I didn't want to be like, nah, he just wants to bang you because that's fucking, you know, that's kind of a shot to the ego. But I'm like, be careful. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, weirdly enough, he asked me out to dinner. I'm like, yeah, saw that coming. I'm like, what'd you say? He's like, well, I'm seeing a guy right now. So I told him no. I'm like, say goodbye to all your bookings that you have with that guy. She's like, he's not like that. Never talk to her again. Never.
That, and then here's a big one too, because I've heard some horror stories about this. If you are doing road gigs, if you are going out on the road with somebody, establish your travel arrangements beforehand. Make sure you have a separate room. That is the biggest skeezball move bookers pull. Is they'll say, "Oh yeah, come out on the road. You're really funny." When you're new and you hear "come out on the road," you're like, "Yes, absolutely," and you don't ask the right questions.
Right.
It's not about how much you get paid. Fuck it. You're going. You're new. Go out on the road. Do it for free if you have to. What it is about is what are the circumstances? Do I get my own room? And if the answer is no, get the fuck out of there, because that's not a booking. That is an attempted sexual assault.
No shit, right?
So one of the things I was thinking about with the whole Louis situation, and like, okay, he might turn out to be a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking about is Jerry Lewis just died.
Right.
And a lot of comics were like, dude, he was an asshole.
He was.
He hated his fans. But so many comics were still defending him.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, they were upset that people were pointing out he was a dick. And I'm like, what?
I think some of that has to do with the culture we have of you don't speak ill of the dead, though. Because I think if those same people would have said that while he was alive, most people would probably be like, yeah, you're right.
I did a whole fucking thing about it while he was still alive. I'm like, I think it's the funniest thing in the world that Jerry Lewis is the angriest person in the world.
Right.
And people were like, yeah, that's really funny. But all of a sudden he dies like, hey, hey, yeah. No, you do not.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I am for it if people bring to light what an asshole someone was while they're alive. Because right. I think that discourages people from being an asshole. Because I think, oh, wow, look at them trashing this piece of shit human after he's dead. I don't want people talking about like that about me when I die. I'm going to be a better person. Right. So, I mean.
But at the same time, it's like. I feel like you can't just whitewash history. Like,
no.
You can't just pretend he was this amazing comic who never had a flaw. And like,
no.
He's a piece of shit. It's fine.
I think that's more of a cultural thing. And, like, you know, hopefully that doesn't come around with Louis. Hopefully if it turns out that these are true allegations and he did these things, I mean, I prefer that they have to face that while they're alive. You know, if they live their entire life being the hero to everybody and it doesn't get revealed to their dead, like, what's that name? Jimmy Savile, the guy who was raping a bunch of kids in Britain for 30 years.
Right, the radio host. Yeah, he didn't see a 1 ounce of repercussions.
No, because he died and then it came out a year later. They're like, well, now that he's dead, we'll talk about it. It's like, I wish that, even if he had 2 or 3 more years, I wish he got to see his legacy crumble. So, like,
right.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I think you should be able to talk about it now for people like that who are alive. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Oh, they're talking shit about Jerry. And the last thing I want to say about Louis is, selfishly, I kind of hope this is true, because then it'll take him down. Then there'll be a void in the scene.
Then you can
and I
up.
Can step up
you
and take the angry old white guy
I gotcha.
Comic.
You're the number one contender.
They'll never see it coming.
The angry old Mexican-born Hungarian comic.
Speaking of disgraced people... John Jones.
Oh, my God. Ryan, I feel like I'm in a bad relationship. I feel like...
UFC champion.
So disappointing.
Doping violations again.
So disappointing. Second time
caught. Is he not the stupidest motherfucker on the planet? He's been caught twice for doping. Once for cocaine, once for fucking PEDs. He was on the fucking radar.
Second time for PEDs.
Well, yeah, but the first one was kind of exonerated in the end by USADA, so that one doesn't really count. But this is so frustrating. I hope this turns out to be another one of those mistakes like they made last time, but I doubt it is. Here's the thing. You're John fucking Jones. You don't need steroids.
But that's the question. Is he John Jones because he's been on steroids the whole time? You have to question his legacy at this point.
I am so angry. I put this post up about how you always have that friend who their boyfriend cheats on them and really embarrasses them publicly, but then they take their boyfriend back because they say they love him, and you just think that they're the one, and so you keep coming back to him. And eventually, you realize that they just keep cheating on you, and that's who they are, and that is what John Jones is to me. The funniest thing is that somebody actually thought that it was a real post about a relationship, and they're like, stick in there, buddy, you'll be okay.
Yeah, or he blackmails you into staying.
Right, yeah. John Jones just blackmails all of his fans into continuing to watch his fights. It's so sad.
It's disappointing more than anything.
He's a superhuman, and I was waiting for the next John Jones era. Second that fight came out, I was like, yes, we're back in. We are going
And there was going to be a Lesnar super fight.
And the thing about it is people are like, oh, there's other good fighters. You're right. There's other good fighters. Other than Demetrius Johnson, there is nobody with that level of dominance within their weight class.
Right.
It is unbelievable. John Jones has never authentically lost a single fight.
No.
Ever. Right. Ever. In fact, I would argue he hasn't even really lost very many rounds in the UFC. Except for Gus, you know, that one fight. But other than that, he essentially has never even been in trouble. He's such a badass. Like, the fact that now this entire legacy is tarnished, now he's getting dragged down, now USADA's not going to let him fight for at least 3 years, if they even let him come back.
4.
Yeah.
His career's over if this turns out to be true. Here's why this is devastating to fight fans is we're not going to get to see his real triumph.
Right.
Imagine this. You're a basketball fan. It's 1989, and all of a sudden they say, Michael Jordan, you don't get the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s are not going to he's not going to play for the 90s. All those championships, you'll never get to see them happen.
So here's my question to you guys. Do you think he goes to Bellator?
Well, they won't let him fight if he's caught doping.
It's not USADA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. That'd be nice.
I think next he's going to fight the winner of McGregor Mayweather.
Which, by the way,
he's actually going to fight both of them at the same time.
Which, by the way, I've been having a ton of problems with this fight tonight, McGregor versus Mayweather. Uh-huh. It's because Everybody fucking knows I show fights at my house.
Right.
Everyone knows those parties are like they're pretty good. People enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. So I got people that know I'm showing the fight. I got some people I don't really like that much. Like, so you showing the fight? And I have to do that thing like, yeah. Oh, that,
you got to redirect immediately. Really, yeah, where are you watching the fight at?
That'll just go right back.
Yeah,
to
that'll go
question.
Right back.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, okay. You meet me. I'll be the guy that I don't really like that much and don't want at my house. Like, so Ryan, you probably watching that fight, huh?
Yeah, I'm much.
Don't do the voice. don't do the voice.
Yeah, where are you watching that?
I don't really have a spot right now.
Ah, bummer. Catch you later, man. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, let's go to Ryan's house. You need, Ryan? You need a cheat sheet of, you know how like everybody's got their own enemy, like somebody they really, really hate? You need a cheat sheet of all those people so that when they're like, hey, Ryan, what's going on with the fight tonight? Yeah, I'm having it at my house.
Oh,
Dave Callens will be there.
Oh, like a key. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it just matches person to person as to who they hate the most.
Yeah. Like when Ken and Tata wanted to come over to my house, I'm like, no, Louis C.K. is going to be there.
I like how I was the example of who people hate.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
Well, I figured.
See, I bet you never had the problem people want to come over when you used to live with that pickup artist. That was probably a pretty good deterrent.
I never
kept people away.
I never actually
lived... Did you live with Mystery, the pickup artist?
Close. I never actually lived with the pickup artist. All right, let's backtrack. Back when I was living in OB, my friends, Raleigh and Olivia, they lived in this house at the edge of Ocean Beach. And I was moving out of my place, which was near the water. They confided in me, like, we're actually going to try and get rid of our current roommate if you want to take his room. And I did. This roommate was not only best friends, but the right-hand man of, you remember Mystery?
Oh, of course.
The pickup artist, that douchebag with the furry hat on VH1. He had a whole show where he dressed like a steampunk idiot and then try and pick up chicks by, like, negging them.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst trend ever. Like,
not neg. He just negged it.
No, it was like, basically like tell girls they're fat and they're like, "Ooh, I want to blow you." That doesn't work like that.
Yeah, put them down so that then they want to win your approval.
You know what the funny thing is? That entire thing was based on like some actual psychology, and they had good advice in there. It wasn't just tell them they're bad. There was good advice. Like,
oh no, for sure, it was legit psychology.
Yeah, like hey, when you go up to a crowd of women, don't just talk to the one you want to date. Talk to everybody. That's general psychology of inclusive groups. Yeah. And it's also polite. Like, that is what you should do. They just, it's like they took something good and made it. It's the dark side of the force, is what it is.
I could not imagine living with a dude like that, though.
Well, we have to get Raleigh on to tell you what living with him was like. I just took his room from him. But leading up to this,
did you neg him?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This room's really shitty.
Oh, yeah. So check this out. So here's a few things about this guy. Leading up to when I eventually replaced him in the living situation, I'd go over there to hang out, and he would hold seminars in their living room with these, like,
oh my God,
sad, doughy-looking middle-aged guys who are just feverishly taking notes. He's like, all right, here's how you talk to chicks. They're just writing it down.
And you know they paid him a shit ton of money for
it. Hundreds. Hundreds of dollars.
Oh, my God.
You think they figured it out when they're walking into a dude's living room? Like, you can't get the community center for the $80 afternoon rental?
No, because when they walk in, that's a selling point. They walk in, he's like, yep, this is where I bang all the chicks. Now they're stoked.
Yeah, this is where it all happens. That couch you're sitting on, Roger, two at the same time.
To be fair, it'd be more impressive if it was at the community center.
Yeah. You know that whirlpool?
Don't go in there.
So anyway, so I'd see these guys. And they'd like take them out on little outings to the downtown area in OB, you know? Like all right. No,
little field excursions.
Yeah, little field excursions. It was sad and ridiculous, and I hated that he made money on it. But he had this weird, even before I took his fucking living situation from him, he had this weird competitive thing with me. Like, he was always trying to one-up me in some way. Like, it's like, I heard you do jiu-jitsu. What belt are you? I'm like, blue. I'm purple. I heard you used to fight amateur. Yeah, I'm a pro. I fought pro.
Wow.
I'm like it was always something.
Boy, his game is on point.
Yeah. He nagged the shit out. Oh, my God.
He was trying to bang you.
He was trying to bang me. He was in love with me. He wanted to kiss me. Yeah.
What belt are you in jiu-jitsu? Let's see. Let me try a rear naked choke on you real quick.
Let's get actually naked.
Yeah.
So anyways.
He's like, here's my belt, and he takes it off.
So anyways, this is, I think, maybe right before they told him, we're kicking you out and Ryan's moving in. He was in OB. he had two chicks with him. One went off with some other dude.
Now, is he like showing off to his students at this point? Is
he,
like,
yeah, he had his students around him. I think, you know, they were watching him from afar. So he's with this chick who's wearing a Misfits shirt. I'm wearing almost an identical shirt. I stole the chick away from him right in front of everyone.
Nice.
Yeah. Not so nice. That chick was Bree, my stalker. That ended up being her. That was...
He ultimate nagged you.
Oh, he did.
He was playing the long con.
He vigilanted you. I actually kind of want to do a vigilante justice to those guys where we find out where they're holding their seminars, like downtown OB. We find out where...
I told you, living rooms.
Yeah. Well, no. We know where they're holding this, where they're going to go out and do their field work, so to speak. We know where and when. We go out there to when they're there, and we bring our girlfriends or wives with us to act as bait. Now, as they go by...
Okay, I guess I'll stay home. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
The first time one of them goes up and starts flirting with him, they immediately act attracted, like, oh, yeah, really? Let's go back to my place right now. They walk over, blow darts.
Jesus Christ.
Enough with the fucking blow darts. All right, let's go watch the fight. Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Blow Dart Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. Fat.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Or else what, bitch?